Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate the octave of Christmas and the first year of the new year 2016. So the Church is inviting us to celebrate the beginning of this new year by honouring the one whom God chose to begin the work of our salvation. As the first dawn, the rays of light for 2016 came up this morning, the Church is inviting us to honour Mary, the Stella Matutina, the morning star, who's like the spiritual dawn, the light that heralds the imminent rising of the great Sun of Justice, the Saviour of the world. But of course, Our Lady does a lot more than just herald the coming of Jesus. John the Baptist did that too. Now, Mary is the one who brings him to us. She's the one through whom, in the most intimate possible way, God has come to us. She's his Holy Mother, and that great privilege is what the Church honors in a special way today. For many centuries, today was celebrated in the Western Church simply just as the octave of Easter. That's the official title of the feast in the traditional rite. And it's also the eighth day, the octave, after Jesus was born, on which little Jewish newborn baby boys were circumcised, as our Lord was in the temple. And we heard that as part of the gospel reading this morning, honoring the moment when our Lord, the newborn child, became officially a part of God's chosen people. He became officially a member of the people of Israel by his circumcision. 8 days. It's worthwhile reflecting for a moment about the beautiful symbolism that's involved in the Church's observance of octaves. 8 days. There's even a certain, we could say, light-hearted, almost romantic touch here, because the idea is that on the two greatest feasts of the year, Christmas and Easter, the Church is so overflowing with gladness that she says, as it were, hey, this is Christmas Day, it's Easter Day. Let's pretend that it's a whole week of days. Let's celebrate every day for the next week like it was today, Christmas Day or Easter Day. And so we'll hear on the octave of Easter that little holy game, as it were, observed in the canon of the Mass. What could be more solemn than the venerable Roman canon? But we hear that little holy pretense there, as the priest will say, in hoc sacratissimum diem, in this holy day in which Christ was born. It's still Christmas Day in our Church's worship. Now, as every birth involves directly two people, right, a mother and child, it's very fitting that this octave, this week-long day of Christmas, should honour both of them. On Christmas Day, we focus on the child Jesus himself, and today we focus on his Holy Mother. The divine maternity. As I say, for a long time, the Western Church didn't have a specific feast to honour this tremendous privilege of our Blessed Mother. It was kind of taken for granted. It goes right back to the Scriptures. Remember Elizabeth's greeting, inspired by the Holy Spirit during the visitation. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Yes, we have the Scriptures themselves giving testimony to Mary's great privilege. In the Eastern Church, right back from the 5th or 6th century, they've had a feast of Mary as Mother of God. But, as I say, for a long time in the West, it was the octave day of Christmas, and we remember the circumcision of the child Jesus. It wasn't until 1931 that Pope Pius XI made the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, a feast in the Western Universal Calendar, and at that time it was not on today, on the 1st of January, but on October the 11th. So Vatican Council II began in 1962, October 11th, on the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. But after Vatican Council II, Pope Paul VI and his advisors decided that we should honor in a more direct and special way, as a solemnity, this tremendous privilege of Mary as being the Mother of God. Is it her greatest privilege? No, her greatest privilege is what we celebrated a few weeks ago, her Immaculate Conception. Because the greatest privilege anyone can have is determined by how close they are to God in holiness. And Mary's perfect holiness is like the jewel in all of her crowns, in all the jewels in her crown, her perfect, unsurpassable holiness, completely free from sin from the very first moment of her existence. However, the feast we celebrate today has priority in another sense. It's the foundation of all of the Blessed Mother's other privileges, including her Immaculate Conception. Because it's the very reason that God created her completely free from original sin was precisely in view of this primordial privilege that the Lord had decided from all eternity that this young Jewish girl was to be the one through whom the second person of the Trinity, God himself, would become incarnate. So God chose Mary from the foundation of the world to be his holy mother. And it's for that reason that God gave her the even greater privilege of unsurpassable holiness. So it's very fitting that now we have a solemnity to honor this very foundational, primordial privilege that God gave the Blessed Mother, choosing this young girl to be the one through whom his Son would take flesh, the one through whom the Son of Justice would rise on this sin-stained world. And let's remember finally then that as Mary is Jesus' mother, and as we, by our baptism and faith, are his adopted brothers and sisters, that Mary also is our own mother. Let's love her and honor her and pray for her protection as we begin this new year, so full of dangers, so full of challenges, but also through Mary and Jesus, so full of hope. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.